He almost always does. You're probably here on a more consistent basis than either of us. Anyway, congrats to the Spurs. A dominating victory in Game 5. I am deeply disappointed as a basketball fan because now we have to rely on WNBA or, I don't know, I guess international ball to get entertained.
Get your basketball fix?
My fix.
Come to the Dunbar League, man.
When do you play again? I'm coming.
Well, we get a game tonight, 7.
Not coming tonight.
Because we get the World Cup deal also.
Right, World Cup. Stickies.
World Cup. Ghana goes down. Ghana's a Ghana.
I hope so.
$3 Bud Lights and a commemorative cup.
Yeah. And I think we play Wednesday. I'll get the schedule double check for you. But, yeah, we need maybe a little bit more support. We're 0-2 right now.
Okay.
A little bit more support.
The United States is 0-2. It's going to be over for them. Tonight is a must-win game for the U.S., and they start at 4:30 today. What time are you at Stickies?
We're going to get there right at game time, right before game time.
Okay.
So we'll be there rocking and rolling. And
so you're going to hustle right from there over to the Dunbar game.
Yeah, those games.
They run late?
Yeah, you get literally 3 minutes to warm up before your game. So 6:57 will be warm up.
So
I mean, 7:57.
I tweeted this out yesterday, but I mean, what a melting pot weekend. We had, you have an Argentinian, you have a Frenchman, you have a couple of Frenchmen, actually, and Patty Mills is Australian. Helping a team win the United States top honor and world in professional basketball. And then you have a guy come over from Germany and dominated the U.S. Open in a way we've not seen many times in the history of the event. So it was quite the melting pot weekend for the United States.
It really was. I think there's probably a lot of folks that, and it was funny because the owner of the San Antonio Spurs, after in his speech, went on to talk about how great the fans were, how great the city is. And then he said how great the state is, and then how great it is, the greatest nation in the world, United States of America. It was just funny because everyone standing behind him was wrapped in their own country's flag.
It is funny.
It was like the Argentina's Bellinelli had the Italian flag.
I know it seems ironic to talk about it that way, but it is what makes it great, though.
Yeah.
That people from all over the world can come here and succeed, whether it's a guy that's got a mom-and-pop shop on the corner or a guy who's an NBA basketball player. I think that's really cool, actually.
Martin Keimer talked about it throughout the weekend, and I don't know if you caught any of the interviews that he'd done, and he talked about, and he was very aware of the fact that he was an international player, a foreigner, playing against Ricky Fowler and some of the other most popular American guys. And he understood, he realized, and he said, I know they're not going to be rooting for me, probably won't be booing me, but this, I'm going to be going up against the fans and everybody that really want to see these other guys win.
The thing is, we're so focused on internationals because of those two things we mentioned, plus the World Cup, and I didn't even realize this until I saw the NBC promos, this is a Ryder Cup year, and it's being played overseas. And the thing that's funny to me is because I was like, oh, my gosh, a German won the U.S. Open, and oh, my gosh, he killed everybody else. But we don't bat an eye when an American wins the British Open. We don't think that's weird. Or when Serena or Venus go over and win the French Open in tennis or at Wimbledon. I mean, tennis is a much more international sport in general, I think.
Certainly.
We only play the one international golf event
Although
that
we,
matters.
We would make a big deal if an American man would win any kind of
anything
tennis tournament.
I don't care if he wins the St. Vincent tournament. It's a big deal.
That's it. I'm rooting for him. I'm getting excited about that.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, the Williams sisters, they're just off the charts. There's no question about it. Now, Keimer talked about how he, growing up, played in similar conditions as a youngster in Germany and throughout Europe.
He played a lot of courses that didn't bother watering the rough, huh?
All that native stuff. That's pretty cool. At the end of the day, I kind of
I don't know. I think
that.
My it is, but it isn't. I think, to me, it's a little un-American, in a way, as far as the way the golf... Not un-American in a political sense.
Right.
Or in a philosophical sense, but it's a little un-American in a golf course way, because you are used to playing golf courses, and you could say, oh, well, that's unique. That's what's cool about it. I have to say, there's too much luck of the draw that goes into that. I mean, Ricky Fowler's shot was based solely on the uniqueness of that wild weirdness in the rough areas.
You're talking about when he
bladed over the green and got a double, and he was fortunate to make the double. Keimer had a similar deal.
Yeah.
Didn't end up costing him that much either, but to me, there's too much luck that goes into that. It's like, does it land in a sandy spot behind a piece of a clump of grass, or like the other day we saw where, you know, his ball, Saturday, Keimer's ball had come to rest on some pine needles. Why he didn't try to punch it through the trees and then get up and down. I don't know. He ended up making bogey while taking an unplayable lie. But regardless, I'm not – and Harry King and I had a discussion about this morning, and he sort of opened my eyes to it talking about it. It's like, I'm not sure that that's a great deal, you know, at the end of the day. It's cool if they did it once every several years, and it's fine. Like Whistling Straits was the same way, you know, when they played it that way. And it's – you have all these sort of natural – bunkers that are out on the course. Now, at least in the natural areas on this course, you could ground your club. It wasn't a hazard.
When you're looking at that course, though, what other things could you have done to make it so difficult? I know you can grow the rough long. I'm just curious if, with that particular course, they know that they had to make it U.S. Open difficult. So there is only certain things you can do to make it as challenging as it was. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Other than certainly, yeah, okay, you can grow the rough 10 feet tall, I suppose you could, but it just didn't seem like the land that it was on, they wouldn't be able to do it like that.
It wasn't
like,
always
that.
Like
was that. Partly the only challenge that they could make it, yeah. Is having it be so ratty looking.
Yeah, I'm not that's
in the rough.
I like to see lush golf courses because I don't get to play golf courses that are quite that lush very often.
I'm just curious if that particular course, they couldn't make it as pristine looking and difficult as Augusta or some of the other courses that these guys play. Maybe that was the only way they could make it difficult.
Game balls, jock straps from over the weekend. I want to give a game ball to a couple of guys that did not win at the U.S. Open this weekend, one of them being Ricky Fowler, who I thought took a huge step forward this weekend. The moment was clearly not too big for him, and there wasn't a whole lot of pressure because you weren't really in the mix ever. Keimer would not come back to the field enough to make it interesting. But Fowler had several, and I mean several, at least five or six I can think of off the top of my head, that either burned the edge or missed by an inch from going in. I mean, but he continuously hit the ball and gave himself chances to make plays. Came right back with a birdie after the double early on, which could have been devastating for a lot of players. I just thought he played really well. Hopefully that's a big step forward for him, because that's a guy I can root for sure as an American player. And the other one was the Eric Compton story, the guy with the double heart transplant.
Just incredible
story.
That's
a crazy story, and he ends up finishing tied for second with Fowler at one under par. They both made over $750,000, so they did all right for the weekend. But I got to give him game balls, and I guess you have to give it to Keimer, too, for not giving up any ground over the weekend, considering he got off to such an amazing start. It would have been easy to give back strokes.
He looks so young. Keimer looks... Keimer and Ricky Fowler playing together,
yeah.
It looked like it could have been a U.S. amateur tournament.
I agree. He's got a baby face.
They look unnaturally young.
Yeah.
Okay? And I know Fowler is,
people
what, 25?
People say that about you, too.
Fowler's like 25, but Keimer's...
He's 29.
Yeah, so he's been... Obviously, he's won two big tournaments before.
Yeah. And apparently, he's won... He not only won this one on Father's Day, sounded like this.
Sends this on the way to the hole.
Got it! He's the champion. Martin Keimer pars the last. Finishes 9 under par.
And he didn't even need to make that one, but he did. But he won the PGA on Mother's Day, I guess.
Yes.
Is that right?
His mother died, though.
It couldn't have been.
No, he did, though. You're right.
But it wasn't the PGA.
It was the Players.
The Players. That's right. Okay, because Mother's Day's in May. I'm like, that can't be right. But, yeah, that's cool. He said it was nice to win on both days.
I got a game ball and jockstrap.
You know, it's nice that I could win on Mother's Day. Maybe it was 4 or 5 weeks ago. Our Father's Day was already a couple of weeks ago in Germany, and I didn't get anything for my father that day, so maybe that works.
There you go. Well, I guess I hadn't realized that he had won on Mother's Day. I didn't realize that the PGA was that day, or the Players was that day. But
kind of snuck under the radar for me too, as well.
Your game balls, jockstraps.
I got a game ball. I thought it was kind of cool. You see all the LBGA players hanging around. They were
LBGA.
LP.
LGBT.
The Women's U.S. Open is this week.
Yes.
All the players were there.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
And it was fun just to see them.
It was, but I think it's so stupid that they're playing the U.S. Open back-to-back weeks at the same venue.
They may never do it again.
It's so dumb.
They might not do it again.
It may not matter, but I just think it's idiotic. Anyway, go on.
But a huge jockstrap to, I don't know if it's the golf culture, what is going on, I don't understand, but Stacey Lewis, for as much success as she has, and is going to have, she should be a lot more front and center, I think, when they discuss the LPGA Tour.
I could not agree more.
What is going on? I don't get it.
I don't know.
It's like we hear about everybody else but Stacey Lewis, and we know about her because of what she's done, and of course she's a Razorback.
I think.
But nationally?
Can I tell you why I think?
Yeah,
this is going to sound terrible. I don't even want to say it, but I'm going to say it.
Don't.
I'm going to say it.
Okay.
I'm going to say it. It sounds terrible, and it's not me. I don't feel this way because I'm a golf fan, and I look at them as athletes, and I like to watch them play for their ability. Same reason I watch tennis. I don't watch them because they might be attractive. But I don't think she tries to parlay any sort of female/sex appeal into her marketing campaign. That's not her deal. She's a very buttoned-up kind of girl. She's not a...
I think she's a little cutie pie.
Oh, I think she's a doll. Don't get me wrong. But she does not try to capitalize on her looks or try to play the sex appeal thing to attract viewers. Many more guys, I guarantee, if you asked around, could recognize Natalie Gulbis,
Paula Creamer,
Michelle Wie, some others who have not accomplished nearly what she has just because they sort of... I mean, they parlay their looks into more marketing opportunities, and she's not done that. And it's a sad, you know, commentary on women's athletics, but I think it's probably a fact of life.
I just think it's time for the LPGA to recognize an American female golfer where most of golf on the female side has been dominated by...
Asians. Koreans specifically.
So you got this girl. Give her a couple commercials.
Yeah, I agree.
Make sure she gets... Whether it be a Gatorade deal or you can put her face out there. It's one of those things. I don't know. Whatever it is, but the LPGA Tour should make it their main objective to get this girl.
I'm with you. I agree 100%. It'd be nice to see. And obviously, we're partial to it. But even if she wasn't a former Razorback, I would feel that way.
Yeah.
You're totally right. And it's like, we've been waiting. Gee, man, we're tired of women's golf being dominated by Koreans, man. We're really tired of it. And then you get an American number one, you don't do anything with it.
It's like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. They should have. You know what they should have done? They should have hosted her this week and had her there as a sort of a representative and a someone who's promoting the fact that the tournament's there next week. I mean, you can't do better than number one. She's your girl.
And she's won the U.S. Open.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Anyway. John.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if Pat Bradley had trouble pronouncing the word Freudian also.
No, Pat doesn't have a problem.
I had a little problem with those four letters. Always get me, John. They
always get me. You guys sound like you just want to play well manicured courses all the time too. You don't want to play ones a little challenging.
It's not that it's not. You can be well manicured and challenging. I mean, I don't know if you ever played on a course with 6 or 8 inch rough. It's pretty tough.
Oh yeah, I remember it well. No, you're not from Little Rock. The old Stonehenge course down here in North Little Rock when they first put it in. I never lost so many balls in my life.
Yeah.
Stonehenge?
Stone Links, yes. I know what you mean.
Stone Links, yeah, not Stonehenge.
Well,
that'd be a tough little course to get around, too.
But, like, you know, Bandon Dunes is modeled after the European courses, and I think most people would argue that it's also quite challenging.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there's a way to do it without making it. That to me, I think luck comes in a little bit too much. And it worked out fine. Hey, give Kramer credit. He stayed out of trouble. He drove it well. He put it amazing. The other thing he did a lot that I like to do, which he does a lot better than I ever did, but is putting off the green. And people make a big deal about that. But I think, you know, if caution is the better part of valor, that is usually a better play. And you saw him do it the other day, knowing he would probably make bogey. He putted around a bunker as opposed to trying to chip off of a tight lie to a tuck pin. And smart play. And I think more guys with 20 handicaps like we have would be better served. Because the thing is, your good might not be quite as good as a really good chip, but your bad's going to be way better.
Yeah, there's
That's
no
why
question.
I putt from off the green all the time. People are like, you're going to putt that? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to putt that. You shut your face and let me do it. Anyway, the only time I think twice about it is when... somebody says something, I was like, oh, you're putting that. Yeah.
Well, there is a lot of, and you saw this whole weekend, a lot of the commercials were geared towards the PGA Tour and golf in general, trying to encourage the amateur players or just the regular hacks like us to don't try to play like these pros. Don't, you know, tee it up. That's a great campaign Jack Nicklaus is going through right now. Tee it forward, right? Mm-hmm. Have you seen that those commercials he's doing now?
Well,
tee it forward.
It's been out for a while now, but yeah, I saw they played a lot this weekend.
And the other one, Ricky Fowler was in one where it talked about just play 9 holes.
Yeah,
you don't
I
have
saw
to
that
play
too.
18.
I actually played 9 yesterday. It was not nearly as satisfying, but you know what I found? It's a lot less frustrating.
If
I only have to pent up 9 holes of frustration, it's way better.
Next time, just play long enough to where you shoot a 72 and then walk off the course.
Good point. Hey, sad news, Pat. We have to share, and I actually got a text from Bill Vickery about it, but I wanted to—I assumed he was right. I was trying to see where he got it. He just sent me the follow-up text, but Matt and Brian has it, so I'll let him break the sad news from the world of Major League Baseball.
man, I hate to do this. The Padres tweeted out Tony Gwynn passed away today.
What?
Yes, I didn't even know he was ill. I mean, apparently he's taking a leave. Yeah, apparently he's taking a leave because he has he's battling cancer, I guess.
Cancer, yeah. I guess that's what did him in.
Yeah, that's a sad deal, man.
Went out to San Diego back in 2001, saw him play. And, man, that was I feel privileged now that I got to see him play.
Yeah, you know, it's. I guess I was talking to Kevin McReynolds this weekend at church, and he told me that they had honored the '84 Padres team that he was a part of that won the NL. Unfortunately, they beat the Cubs, but nevertheless. But they had sent him some replica. I guess they did throwback jersey night, and they had sent him a replica. I guess. Remember when we got that box the other day?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, he played with Tony. I'm gonna try to get him on and see if he can talk to us a little bit about that. But that's a sad deal considering they just were sort of looking back on what was, I guess, 30 years ago on a great Padres team, and certainly he was a great, not only Padres player, but Major League player.
Yeah, sorry to break that to you guys.
Yeah, thanks for the heads up. I hate to hear that. That's a sad deal, and of course his son has got a good young career going. I saw a story about him and his son on a kind of a Father's Day tribute story yesterday.
Yeah. He was drafted in the third round of the 1981 draft, Tony Gwynn.
Well, and luckily with him, I mean, that was the Padres' heyday. I mean, that was as good as they've ever been, probably, when he was there early in his career.
He's a California guy, too, San Diego State. Then the Padres. Oh, he could hit the ball.
Yeah, he's one of those few guys you could put in the realm of Ted Williams, I mean, as far as his ability to put the ball in play. What's up, Rich?
Hey, good to see you guys.
Thank you. Happy, good to hear from you.
Happy Father's Day, belated.
Thank you.
To those fathers out there. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man, I'll tell you what, I've followed the NBA Finals kind of, like, not that well over the past couple of years, but this year, I mean, you know, I kept up with the Heat last year and saw, you know, what happened, but, man, I was totally impressed with the offense of San Antonio. I mean, they were a well-oiled machine in games 3, 4, or whatever, 3 and 4. But Parker, Duncan, those guys, it was really an enjoyable series, you know. It really was. And, you know, hats off. I mean, I don't think it's like a turning point for Miami. You know, even though, you know, I wouldn't say they're done, but, you know, they got a wake-up call.
Yes, sir.
Man, but...
Well, it's clear they have to change something because I don't know this year if they would have beaten some of the other Western Conference teams, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I'm kind of a Thunder. I kind of lean towards Thunder, and I was wanting a Thunder-Pacers final. Man, that was kind of the dream final, but didn't happen. You know, Westbrook, those guys, man, KD. But definitely exciting basketball last night. And, you know, I was happy to see, to see them win. So, anyway.
All right, brother. Thank you, man.
Y'all take care.
Hey, Rich, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Boy, and we don't have enough game balls to go around for San Antonio, do we?
Well, I was just going to give them all to Kawhi Leonard, but... There are plenty of guys who deserve it. I mean, that I'm telling you, the Ginobili dunk freaked me out about as much as anything else I've seen in the playoffs. That was totally out of the blue.
It was, and you look at last year, he was a ghost, man.
How about him, like, throwing Ray Allen to the side like a rag doll on his way
to
home, too?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
Is Ray going to retire? Who's the most likely guy to retire outside of Battier? Duncan? Ray Allen? Who's going to hang it up? Anybody?
I don't think Ray Allen or Duncan want to retire, and...
I don't think Duncan needs to retire. I'm not sure about Ray.
Listen, Ray Allen, he's still, to me, I can see him still have some value. Now, you got to go cost, you know, because he is a veteran. There's a veteran minimum there. So
we need to talk about cost, too. I want to talk about that related to the big three for San
Miami?
Antonio.
Oh, San Antonio.
For San Antonio. And we do need to talk about some other sweepstakes that are out there as far as free agents go. Got a great little anecdote I saw on Deadspin this morning about Boris Diaw. And we've already got odds for next year, Pat, because why not? Much more related to the NBA coming up after the break, for sure, and a little more perspective on Kawhi Leonard's performance.
I can remember. I saw Diaw over in France when he was playing, when I was there.
His team,
Paul Ortiz, played against my team, Saint-Étienne.
Did you beat his team?
No, they whooped us.
Did he dunk at the basketball?
He was a young pudgy kid back then, man. He still is a young pudgy kid.
Now he is an old pudgy kid who is freakishly athletic, according to the story I hear. I will tell you when we come back.
Yeah, I got a little bit of that. But before, you know what I've been doing that's changed my life? I've been taking care of my dogs. That's right. Your feet are going to take you from point A to point B. Might as well do it in style. And you might as well be comfortable as well. New Balance, made right here in the good old U.S. of A. What better way to celebrate the U.S. World Cup game today than go by and get you some New Balance shoes. They measure your foot, the size, the width, pressure points. Make sure your arch is supported and your shoes fit for your comfort. If you suffer from foot pain, knee, lower back pain, my friends at New Balance Store, Highway 10, can help you out. What they'll do is size your foot, make sure that you have the right shoe, but also get you some custom